I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Trampoline Hall podcast. I'm your host, Misha Globerman. Trampoline Hall is, as you know, a lecture series that takes place in a bar. It's usually in Toronto, but sometimes in other cities. People give lectures on all kinds of subjects, with the one restriction being that they cannot speak on subjects on which they are professionally expert. And after each lecture, we take questions from the audience. This, of course, is not Trampoline Hall, the show in a bar. This is Trampoline Hall, the podcast. And the way this works is, in every episode, we go through our vast Trampoline Hall archives, and we choose one lecture to podcast to you. Sometimes they're old, sometimes they're new, but they are always lectures, and they are always for you. The show, as you also may know, is done in little short seasons. We are just starting a new short season. That means we're going to have six episodes once a week. Then you get to wait for many, many, many weeks, and then we bring you more. For this season, Kate Bars looked all our archives and chose these six lectures for you. By the way, if you like this and you're in Toronto, you should come see the show. Join our email list, find out about it. But for now, now is the time to get to this episode's lecture. You are probably asking yourself, does it contain mature language? Yes, it might. It might contain mature language. And here it is, this episode's lecture. The title is My Dad is Cooler Than Me, and the speaker is Kian Cruz.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here to share some unfortunate news. It's a rather straightforward admission, but a difficult one nonetheless. My dad is cooler than me. This is an uncomfortable truth to parade in front of a room full of strangers. What's more, it seems downright unnatural. Cool is supposed to be the provenance of the young and the virile. Instead, I'm living proof that cool can become stuck and refuse to blossom in a new generation, regardless of how fertile the soil. Picture a guy who looks like me. Only he's taller, filled out, has long flowing hair, smokes, wears a leather jacket, and plays the guitar. That's my dad. The thing is, despite being, well, my dad, he pulls this look off. For example, one time he was having a smoke outside my house, just chilling, contemplating the CN Tower. When he was out there, a friend of mine, who is an extremely attractive young woman, rang my doorbell. While she was taking off her coat, she asked me, with that certain tone I'm sure you'd recognize in a woman whose interest is piqued, "Who's that dude out there?" That dude was my dad. I think he pulls it off because he exudes the classic cool affect, self-assured and composed, with just a tinge of passive rebellion. One cultural root of this deeper, radiant idea of cool comes from the movies in the early 20th century. You see, in the 1920s, movies were getting kind of racy. Uptight America saw Hollywood as a morass of immorality. To stop litigation, movie producers established a model of self-censorship called the Hays Production Code, which condemned any obscene word, thought, or deed as an offense against the American people. What this meant was that artistic filmmakers had to internalize this code in order to not distort the kind of stories they were trying to tell. This resulted in a kind of character who not only didn't swear, but who barely spoke at all. Instead of expression through action, these conditions sculpted a character who was equally expressive through passivity. Their stoicism invoked a set of values and a rebellious judgment against the status quo. Thus, cool was born. That's my dad. That's the flesh I came from. But in direct comparison, I wear cardigans and sweater vests. I don't listen to music, and I barely drink. I act like a 60-year-old man in a young man's body. I rarely cavort or engage in skullduggery. Most of my dad's friends are in jail. Or dead. Before I came along, that was the kind of crew he ran with. He used to drive a motorcycle and a 67 Camaro convertible. He got rid of the first because, as a baby, I cried every time he started it up. He sold the latter because one day, when I was 4, he asked me if I ever want the car, and I, apparently out of my mind, scoffed at the idea. I don't have a rebellious streak in me, and I have the hardest time being aloof or inverting my energy so that I appear detached, calm, or any of the other stereotypical earmarks of cool. Instead, I'm enthusiastic and corny, focused and excitable, usually sincere and definitely gushing with an intense love for things. I don't wear my heart on my sleeve, I rip it out and slam it on the table. An advocate of spiritual harakiri, I just let myself flow out all over, dumping steaming buckets of churn, regardless of the relevance and without any awareness of subtle social dynamics. I'm not saying I'm autistic, but I've been accused of it. I've argued with rooms full of people over the worth of Moby Dick. I put my foot in my mouth at work constantly, and I just don't know how to let things go once I start thinking and caring about them. The Japanese have a word for this kind of relentless exuberance: genki. The fact that I know that is definitely not cool. So how does the apple fall so far from the tree? History gives us a few clues. Growing up, my dad was in a very different situation than me. His father was a military man with a haircut you could set your watch to. My grandfather also believed that if you spared the rod, you spoiled the child. To cap it off, my dad spent his formative years in Germany amongst a band of outcast Canadian army brats, getting into fights with gypsy kids and Germans in equal measure. His best friend at the time was a guy named Blaze Robinson. In this context, violence was endemic. Emotional violence, physical violence, and social violence. To be an individual, to stand out from the pack, meant that you were cut off from your only support system, the gang. Being different wasn't an option. You had to be cool or perish. So my father became cool as a kind of defense mechanism. It became an inextricable part of his identity. By comparison, my childhood allowed a surprising amount of zany leeway. Abhorring the violence of their youth, my parents cultivated a relatively utopic situation for me to grow up in. Even at a young age, they treated me like a person instead of a dog. We lived up in the woods, so the only place where I faced the judging eyes of society was at school. And the school itself, oddly enough, was an enclave virtually cut off from the toxic elements of culture. I was insanely lucky. My eccentricities may be mild, but they were allowed to flourish. Nowhere did I receive damaging negative feedback for being a precocious, odd little bastard. Having received almost zero social criticism for any visible peculiarities until grade 7, when my school merged with the local military school, left me soft and ripe for the picking. By then it was too late. My nascent identity was entrenched in the opposite of cool. Going from one social extreme to the other during my formative adolescent years left me in a bitter bind. On the one hand, I drew great personal strength and conviction from my more gregarious tendencies. On the other hand, dudes were throwing basketballs at my head. These harsh, binary conditions reinforced my natural indecisiveness and culminated in an insecure, self-doubting kid with an utter lack of confidence in my abilities. For the longest time, being in a social situation demanded maintaining rigid control over top of two competing instincts: the hunger to contribute and the terror of rejection. This meant that when I was around people, my mind would be racing, establishing a cascading network of possible things to say in a knotted flurry of words. That flurry grew to be my natural state, and suddenly I found myself described with words like enthusiastic or energetic. Binding my identity to these traits and finding pride within them meant that I had to accept the consequences. I'm not relaxed. I don't seem self-assured. I'm not aloof or laid back in the cut. In short, I'm not cool. In retrospect, it almost seems obvious, doesn't it? The thing is, this fact completely blindsided me. Recently, I started thinking about cool because my girlfriend notified me that I wasn't. She said it so off the cuff and perfunctorily, you could almost imagine a wave of her hand dismissing any doubt. Of course Kian's not cool, it's so obvious. But the thing is, I had no idea. And it hurt. She wasn't doing so maliciously, she was simply referencing the stoic attitude that I don't have. But still, it was a shock. Despite everything I've described thus far, nobody had ever told me that I wasn't cool before. I lived under the comfortable illusion that I was cool anyway, that I had flow. Then I recognized the unbridled coolness of my father, and I realized I wasn't living up to his legacy. The funny thing is, I know my dad has some of the same insecurities I do. He's a sensitive man. I've seen him wrestle with them in times of duress, but even that struggle doesn't seem dire for him. Somehow he's still more or less in control, whereas I feel, almost constantly, like a total spaz. What's more, and this is a real spinner, my dad likes a lot of uncool things. I grew up reading his hand-me-down fantasy and science fiction novels. He used to take me to arcades when I was too young to even play the games by myself. He'd stand over top of me and control the joystick while I mashed the thick plastic buttons in childish glee. My aesthetic was formed, in part, through an osmosis of his own uncool tendencies. But they never brought him down. He was still, first and foremost, a cool guy. He navigated this territory with great aplomb. He managed to juggle the seeming contradictions in his soul while maintaining an utterly unified persona. And he made it look good. I find myself second-guessing nearly every decision or idea in my head, undermining my own emotional and philosophical commitment to pretty much everything, carrying around a pile of contradictory ambitions and dreams. I run in 100 directions at once, get nothing done, because I can't hear what my heart is telling me, or I don't believe it. None of this gels into the harmonious whole the way my father effortlessly puts down his chainsaw or his guitar and picks up a dog-eared fantasy paperback. I don't trust my own taste. I'm not comfortable with all of myself, and therefore I can't harmonize. Compared to him, I feel fractured. Yet, I recognize it's because I have a privileged glimpse into my own interior emotional world. I can neither see nor feel my father's doubts, whereas my own loom large and dominate the landscape of my life. The bottom line is that he can, for whatever reason, maintain a frosty and mysterious demeanor. On the other hand, I feel, almost constantly, like a transparent pane of human glass, ready to shatter at a moment's notice. I was actually on the phone with my dad over the weekend. I promised myself that I wasn't going to tell him what this speech was about, because then it'd be kind of like asking for his tacit approval. Holding back was rough. In so many ways, whenever I'm around him, I'm still that little kid who doesn't know how to hold the chainsaw properly. In the end, I cracked. He asked me how the speech was coming, and I told him it was titled, "My Dad is Cooler Than Me." He laughed for a solid 30 seconds. Then, catching his breath, he said, "I don't know if that's true, Kian." Thank you.
Kian Cruz, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Trampoline Hall Podcast. I'm Misha Goldman. Up next, the Q&A.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are there any questions? Oh, yes, you all the way in the back. Yes, ma'am.
I have a two-part question.
Damn you to hell.
Those don't exist.
That's a great one. Does cool evolve is the question.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. I need a follow-up. Like, do you mean can cool... Yes, cool evolves. The end.
Is there a clarifying that you want to add to that?
The second question that's related is... like, your father...
Right, so what's a contemporary example of cool who is not your father that you would...
Well, I think that the same, like, basic affect that he, that radiates out of him, right, other people have these days. It's not something that just arose out of that violence. It's something that I think some people just have naturally, and then other people try to graft that onto their personalities in order to seem like they have that affect.
And when you say other people, are you thinking of anyone in specific, or are you like, you don't know about that because that's in popular culture and you're bookish?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay, all yeah, right. Yeah. So you don't have specific examples?
No, it's a very vague murder.
All right, you just have a sense it's out there, you like, turn on the TV.
Well, yeah, because we still use the word constantly, and it still makes sense to us.
Right.
And we want to say, and so there's like, well, one level of like, cool is just, I accept that. And like, so it's like, cool means good. And then there's a sort of like slightly deeper level of like, yeah, leather jackets and smoking and guitars.
Right,
it's still pretty cool. And then like the deepest level of that, which I think is unchanging, is the affect of kind of rebellious, but somehow passively rebellious.
Right, okay. So that bottom
is
thing is like
unchanging.
Still there.
Yeah,
that,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's still okay. It's still okay to be like rebellious and it's calm on the
surface. Like, I mean, does anybody here not think that Ryan Gosling in Drive is cool? Like, he's totally cool.
That's an example.
And he's just standing there.
I don't see anyone disagreeing. Who would dare? So there you go. It does, I guess, evolve. It evolves from the sort of rock and roll to Ryan Gosling in Drive. So there you go. Yes. Human, yes.
Is there a gendered nature to being cool?
Is there a gendered nature to being cool? Ask someone who seems to be a woman. Are you a woman?
It seems to be.
Can women be cool? Is there a gender component?
I don't know. I think there's cool women too.
Thank you.
A lot of women. A lot of women who may have.
No,
not
I just, I'm not. I'm not like a guy who knows. I don't know about cool. I'm not like a coolologist. I just, my dad's pretty cool, and it makes me feel bad. That's what the speech is about.
Well, I think it's good. I think you're narrowing what the expertise is. So this is, if you have general questions about coolness...
I'm not going to be able to answer those.
Keith is pretty much established he is exactly the wrong person to answer your general questions about coolness. If you have specific questions about being less cool than one's dad, then he is bang on. He's your guy. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just wondering, because you said that you're not particularly interested in music or that you don't like music. Did your dad ever try to...
Oh my god.
Did your dad try to get you to like music?
Oh my god, no, my dad tried like nonstop. He bought me a guitar when I was 3. He taught me how to play like a Joe Walsh song, and I was like, that's enough. And I haven't looked back. I don't hate music, it's just it does nothing for me.
Really? Are you like, you're like, I don't know why. I think there was never a time in your life when you were like,
well, I can like,
you ever,
when
like,
I
sit back with little Bach and like, maybe
no.
Poetry, no,
like I studied it in university because I was so consumed with like, what's my problem? Why don't I like music?
Right.
And then that just opened up a world of more questions.
What did you say you studied it? Like, did you take like a
like a straight like no, one of those like Gregorian chant, like all the way up to the 20th century like survey courses.
So you've really established you don't like music. Like you've looked at all music. Well, and none of it anything for you.
I'm sure there's some out there I haven't heard,
but that's pretty good. If you took a whole course and you're like, yeah, no Renaissance.
Basically, yeah.
No,
that was the whole class. Yeah, it was terrible.
That's amazing. It's true. That's not very cool. Yes, you sir, yes.
Why is science fiction not cool?
Why is science fiction not cool? You ask someone accusingly.
Yeah, you look like a science fiction reader, man. Like, because it's too It's too enthusiastic. And it promotes a kind of enthusiasm which itself isn't cool because it's not detached. You love this thing. It takes you over, or maybe not necessarily to that extent, but it can promote that. And so therefore, I think that it may be awesome, but not cool.
Right. So there you go. Okay, so there. That's why. Yes, you, ma'am. Yes.
By your logic, why isn't you're not conforming to cool? You don't let that get you down. Isn't that?
Oh, no, it gets me down all the time. Yeah. Didn't you hear the people
so
being
much
like?
For your clever catch 22 trap that you were laying. I see where you were going. But so what were you gonna say? Let's see if we can get.
Sorry.
It.
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting.
You were like, you were saying, so he's okay with not being cool.
You're still not conforming to what society is telling us you should be. Isn't that cool?
So that this lady who I feel it's important to say took off her glasses to ask this question. And I somehow feel like that's an important detail. Wanted to say, isn't there something that's in some way sort of cool about not conforming to society's expectation of cool? Is there something in that?
I don't know. I think we lock a lot of people up in like psych wards and stuff for people who just like think they're cool and are totally doing things their own way and aren't listening to anybody. It seems like.
Wait, who was ever locked up in a psych ward for thinking they were cool?
Okay, well, I'm fairly certain that. Oh man. I'm drawing a blank here, but like Manson probably thinks he's pretty cool.
Charles Manson does think he's cool. That's
yeah.
True. All right. No, that's fair. So wait, but how does that? That's a very good insight that in no way answers the question.
Well, no, because you can't. I don't think that you can. Okay, no man is an island. That's basically the answer, right? The only way that we can judge ourselves is through the interactions that we have with other people in a social situation.
So you're saying that other people don't find you cool? You mean,
well, no, like, it seems like the question is, like, can you have a personal definition of cool and live to that, right? And is that cool? And I'm like, no, your personal definition, that's just you and alone
right,
in a room.
Right. I understand what you're saying, right? If you're cool, like, if you're saying, like, oh, cool is on the inside, you're like, no, that's bullshit. Cool is what other people think of you.
Probably,
if
yeah.
If you're the only person who knows you're cool...
You're Milhouse. You're Milhouse, yeah, if you're in that situation.
Yeah. You're Milhouse or Manson. Yeah. It's a really strange club. It's a very specific club of Charles Manson and Milhouse from The Simpsons. But I see what you mean. Right, some people have to think they're cool to be cool. Okay, that seems fair. I'll accept that. Yes, you, sir. Yes.
Do you actually really want to be cool in your heart?
Do you? Now, here's the question. I think there's some controversy. Do you really want to be cool in your heart?
I don't know what it's like.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that I don't know what they're like, but I can imagine that I would want, want them. That's what wanting is.
I've always thought you were really cool.
He thinks you're very cool.
Thanks.
People say, aw. Now, I don't know, but whether that has weight depends on whether you think that guy's cool, which you may or may not. Now we'll have to like do a sort of chain of... But maybe so. That's you. Do you actually? Is that true? You know Kian, and you specifically think like
okay,
if you were like.
I don't know Kian that well. I feel like I'm in a great position to judge this because I've been this casual acquaintance for like 4 or 5 years.
So you know him around, kind of.
I know he rock climbs.
He rock climbs.
His biceps look amazing.
He has good biceps.
He has a really impressive bookshelf. He has a kind of bookshelf where it's like it doesn't actually seem like you read all of those, but you talk a really good game.
Impressive bookshelf, like that's good.
To me, it's not
impressive.
Cool. To me, it's not cool to talk about all the smart things you read, but if you just go over to somebody's house and they have all of these really smart-seeming books and you've never heard about that, they're just quietly a genius.
So he has smart... Okay, so he rock climbs,
yeah.
He has strong biceps, and then he has an impressive collection of books about which he doesn't talk too much. I would say that one thing I want to point out is that, like, of those three, I think one of them is maybe a definition of cool that's like a particularly Trampoline Hall crowd.
Yeah.
Like, I think about that a lot. Like, when you talk about coolness, I was thinking about our audience, and I was like, I don't think there's a lot of bikers here normally. Like, I don't think that. So I don't know if, I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to figure that out for ourselves. But you think he's cool?
Yeah.
And you've thought if you had to think of a list of people who are cool, you'd be like, yeah, Kian.
Yeah. And also, Kian seems really cool. Has always seemed really cool with hanging out with people who don't rock climb and read Hegel. Like, he has a really focused, interested life, but he doesn't really put that on you.
He's
with hanging out with his dad. Or
He can hang out with people not like himself.
Yeah, sure.
How do you respond to all that?
Doesn't that just mean that somebody's, like, socialized a little? And I guess... But I guess, like, my deeper rebuttal would be that that's still only the first two levels of cool,
right?
Like, that's the super... Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
So the superficial level of cool, which is the second one, I guess, down... I'm totally cool was saying that that one is relative to a social dynamic. But then when you get down to that, like the deepest level of like what's really cool.
But then the punchline of your lecture is that your dad has doubts as well.
Yes.
So maybe no cool person is actually cool deep inside.
Maybe it is this like terrible flurry, and then that would mean it's not very cool to be cool.
Whoa. I feel we're really getting somewhere. Okay, but so
I feel like you're acting like I planted you in the audience to help bring out the thesis that I didn't quite do.
That would be actually the least cool thing to do imaginable. To say like, and then at the end, you tell them that I really am cool. That's so uncool. It actually makes me uncomfortable
but
to even think about
it. But is that more Milhouse or more Manson?
That's actually where Milhouse and Manson come together. Okay, but no, so I think that's right, and I think that you're right, and I think it's worth. I like that three-level thing. So like the top level is just cool, just meaning okay.
Yeah, acceptable.
And the middle level is cool, meaning specifically like guitars and rock and roll and tattoos.
Well, which is relative to
right,
a social
which
dynamic.
Which changes, yeah, yeah. And that changes with time. But then there's the bottom one where it's just like the rebel who doesn't like the introverted, inward-focused rebel. And
yeah,
that's like
which is what everyone seems to be striving for, but who knows if anyone actually gets there.
Okay. All right. Okay. Cool. All right. Well, let's come back to that. So there's some question as to whether or not you're cool. Some people think maybe you are, and therefore a fraud. I'm gonna go to you, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. Free sex code, free rebel without a cause. What's cool? This is just
sure.
Hypothetical. Yeah. Define a cool person in like the Middle Ages.
What's a cool person before the Hays Code? Specifically, are you getting them specifically the Middle Ages, or you can take anywhere before?
I have an answer pre-Hays Code, but not an answer for the Middle Ages.
Okay, let's take it one at a time, man.
Okay, so pre-Hays Code, I would say that like slaves had to be cool because they had to embody passive rebellion. Like because they couldn't fight back. The whole system was crushing them to pieces, so they had to just stand there and take it. And I feel like that's maybe the root of cool.
Right.
So who knows if it existed in the Middle Ages? Because
I just heard minds actually get blown. I heard the mind stuff coming out of people's minds. Okay.
Medieval times, probably kings, like because kings were awesome.
Right. People had so right. So the king is right. So people had to like the king. That lady thinks that's not cool.
Jesters, maybe? I don't know. Like, my knowledge of Middle Ages is pretty rough.
Those are the only two kinds of people you know.
Yeah.
You're like, it's either king's jesters
or knights,
else is there.
Right?
Or
knights,
right?
Wait, serfs.
Not
no.
Serfs were not cool.
No. Lancelot.
So Lancelot? So Lancelot specifically, someone says?
No. So Lancelot was totally awesome. He wasn't cool. He loved shit way too much. He was all, like, gung-ho and stuff.
But so was your dad.
No, he's chill.
All right, let's go up to the back. Yes, you in the back there, sir. Yes.
I feel like Chaucer is probably pretty cool.
Who's that? What? Chaucer?
Yeah.
You think Chaucer is cool? at the time, he would be cool. Not now. Now he'd be a dork. But at the time, you think he'd be considered cool? All right, thank you. Not so much a question, but it's always good to throw out Chaucer as a possible answer. We appreciate it. We do appreciate it. Anything else? Any other questions? Oh, yes. All right, you, ma'am. Yes. Right, is it maybe he seems cool because he's older and may I add, created you? Like, that can also make someone seem more powerful. Like, you know.
I don't know. Like, I know a lot of old people who aren't cool.
Sorry?
They're not all your dad.
They're not all.
So everybody thinks their dad is cool. Maybe. I don't know. We'd have to make a poll.
Yeah, actually, if I, not to say too much, but Lauren, your dad is a bit of a rebel who plays the guitar. Is that true? Do you think he's cool?
No.
Okay. So I think that provides more proof that Kian's dad probably is cool. It's not just those facts. I don't know why I think that proves that, actually. It makes no sense at all. But do you think that there's like a danger that if someone's older that they can...
I just want to say my stepdad also is like a rebel who plays the guitar and I do think he's cool.
Okay.
So I don't think either of those traits are qualifying, or like I read dadness, rebelliousness, or guitar playing. But I just want, like, I don't know, someone who has that much more like
so maybe he's not cool, maybe he's just tired?
That might be enough, I don't know.
Do you think when he was your age, he was like all enthusiastic and now he's just kind of gotten like worn down?
No.
People are saying no. Do you know it? Do you know?
It's that's my father. That's my
oh, he's your father too. Why, that makes you his sister. That makes you his sister. Okay, all right. So you think, I just asked your sister.
Yes, ma'am.
I guess the thing is, I would say is there's a classic picture of my father in his senior year of high school.
and it's literally a picture of the principal standing with his arms crossed, looking at my father like he's a piece of dirt, and my dad standing there with like a cigarette in his hand looking bored.
Do people hear that in the back? That her dad in his own high school yearbook is depicted looking rebellious and smoking next to a distraught high school principal. That is the picture they ran of him in his yearbook. So that's a powerful image.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yes. So. Okay. Yes, you sir. Yes.
Were your grandparents cool?
Were your grandparents cool? So you talked about your dad's dad.
I think that's harder to gauge.
Your sister's much quicker.
Yeah,
on the
response. She's like that. I'm gonna say. They had elements of it, but they didn't reach it. Like, they didn't reach the limits of what they could have.
That's like a polite version of stuff. No. Okay, let me ask you a couple questions with regards to some of the grandfather stuff and just some other stuff that's in my head, which is that part, I just want to toss these things out, and I suspect you have good answers to them, but one thing that I think is that, when I think about the elements of cool, I think you got some of them, like, there's, like, that affect, you know, and, like, the rebel. But part of it for me is, like, sort of stereotypically, it's also, like, being different from your dad. Like, specifically, seems like a component of cool, right? Like, your dad, it's easy to be cool when your father is, like, an authoritarian military dude. Yeah. Then it's easy for you to, like, rebel and become, like, this badass rock and roller or whatever. But, like, if your dad's a badass rock and roller, then if you were to be that, then you'd also sort of be, like, someone who tries to be like their dad, which is maybe not so cool. Do you think that's right, or am I...
I definitely think that there's an element of that narrative which plays into things. And I think that kind of maybe is one of the problem. Maybe like I hope to point to in the speech, like a bit of problem for me, where it's like you almost need something to push against in order to be cool, in terms of the rebelliousness. And I just had nothing to push against. They were like, "Be yourself. That's fine." Like, my parents were cool, so they were cool with having a weird kid.
Right. Right, and then I guess the broader thing that I think about then is that if being cool means having something to push against, I wonder if partly it's like, it's a better world that allows you to not be cool.
Yes.
Like when you talk about like the environment that creates cool, like the environments that you named which create cool are like the Hays Code, which was crappy, mm-hmm. and slavery, which was worse than the Hays Code.
Totally. Yeah.
And those were like the environments that created coolness. And maybe part of it is like, I wonder if part of it is that you live in like a fortunate time or just environment for you where like you can't. Like, you don't have to mask your enthusiasm, and maybe that's just like better. Does that seem like there's something in that?
Well, I think on the one hand, yes, it's much better to not live under a social tyranny. But on the other hand, when someone tells you you're not cool, it hurts. It sucks. It's like,
sure,
and you kind of have to agree with them because you're like,
like if someone said to me like, "Oh man, Misha, like you're not so good at being in prison fights," like I'd be like. Yeah, I'd rather, I guess, be good at being in prison fights, but I'm mostly happy that I didn't grow up in prison, so I became good at prison fights.
Right,
and I wonder if you think, like, cool is maybe a similar kind of thing, or on the whole, it's like, you know...
Yeah, I don't think it's just growing up in social tyranny, because there are plenty of people who are cool in both affect and, like, the deeper demeanor, who didn't have to deal with those kinds of problems from a father figure or from a larger social figure. Yeah, like, there's a few guys I know who are incredibly chill, and they just ooze like fluid, and their dads weren't military dudes who beat them.
Okay, so you're gonna stand by. You're like, cool. It's still a value. It's still necessary.
Yeah.
And it's still that like thing, that underlying thing. Like the fashions might change.
Or at the very least, it's a component of maybe like a wider tapestry of cool.
Okay, because I feel a few people have tried to challenge that, but you have stood your ground in a way that's almost cool. Yes.
So you talked about your school, and you think if you had gone to a different school
If you went to a school where people were more bullish, would that have made
you
cool?
Well, I might have just been crushed faster.
Right, hard to know. Yes. Are you have kids? Ma'am, are you asking because you have children who you're hoping will grow up cool, and you want to know what sort of school to send them to? Or
I wasn't really. It was made apparent to me that I was uncool.
You went to a school where you were called out for being uncool.
I still remain.
Your friend, is she uncool? Is that true? Is she uncool? Okay, you weren't
there.
Okay, but so you're uncool. Okay, that's fair. Okay, yeah. So it doesn't. It's not guaranteed. Yes, you sir.
Can you lose your cool factor?
Can you lose your cool factor?
Could you be cool younger and then?
Can you be cool when you're young and then
absolutely.
Become less cool?
I bet. Like I wouldn't know. I didn't have it to begin with.
What would it be that they lose? Like for example, I was thinking like my dad. I feel was cool,
Your dad was cool.
But now, not so much.
Now not cool. And what's your question? Do you want to make your dad cool again? You want to know what happened? Why isn't your dad cool too?
Yeah.
Like, why, what?
But if it's a deeper thing, then how would you lose it?
How could you lose that? Maybe you're... Yeah.
Maybe he only had the first two kinds. I don't know. Or maybe cool is a constant struggle. And sometimes you can lose.
Those are both very wise options. You, sir. Yes, you, sir.
I'd just like to add on to that. Maybe there's a diminishing return on how cool you are.
So maybe it just naturally goes down? How cool you are goes down over time?
Because you're so used to it.
Because you're used to it?
You're used to your dad being cool, right? So eventually...
Oh, so for that guy, he's used to his dad being cool, so yeah. The cool rubs off.
Yeah.
But then he's used to his dad being cool.
Because his dad's really cool.
Because his dad's really cool. Do you know his dad, too?
Yeah.
Is his dad really cool?
He's super cool.
All these... Okay, I have to say... I have to say, my whole understanding of the lecture actually just changed. Because up until now, I'll be frank with you, I sort of understood the lecture a little bit. It's like, oh, it's about a guy who thinks his dad is cool.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, that's a kind of person. But it's like, oh no, it's about a guy whose dad really actually is. Like, everybody's like, oh, his dad's really, really, really cool. So having that confirmed really changes things. All right, so I just wanted to, those people in the front look very trustworthy to me, I want to say. And they look like they are people who know whether an old guy is cool or not. And they're 100% this guy's cool. Yes.
Can you bring your father to the next trampoline hall?
Can you bring your father to the next trampoline hall? Not so much a question as a date either. So just a request? A request. Could you bring him to the next trampoline hall?
Probably not. He's got his own thing to do.
All right. Well, I think having all of us been snubbed by your dad seems like a good moment to wrap it up. So let's, ladies and gentlemen, Kian Cruz, ladies and gentlemen.
Trampoline Hall was created in Toronto in the 21st century by Sheila Hetty and is hosted by me. This episode's lecture was chosen by Naomi Squarna. The podcast is produced by Josh Block. Our theme music was composed by Matt Smith. Our coordinating producer is Kate Bars. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can really help us out by leaving a rating or review on iTunes. It helps a lot. I'm Misha Globerman. Thanks for listening.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.